our fundamental duty and privilege as sons and daughters made in the image of God is to actively image or imitate God, and that is what the fourth commandment really is all about. On the seventh day, God rested from his labors and enjoyed the fruit of them. God does not need rest in the sense that we do, in the sense of needing rejuvenation. But it is of God's nature, we see, to rest and to enjoy and to have regular times for doing so. So the rest of God, recorded in Genesis, involved his enjoying his creation, rejoicing in it, and the pinnacle of that was enjoying and rejoicing in the crown of his creation, mankind, enjoying the fellowship of his images, his son Adam and his daughter Eve, and that would extend to their children, all God's sons and daughters. So no command was needed in the beginning for resting and enjoying and rejoicing in the fruit of God's work and ours was built into the fact that doing so is of the nature of God, and we are his images, his imitators. And when the command is given through Moses after the Exodus, the reason given is the example of God in the work of creation. It is taken for granted that we are to imitate him. Now, this principle of imitating God in his enjoying and rejoicing in the fruits of his work extends to his work of redemption through Christ as well. So when God repeats the fourth commandment through Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, after 40 years of wilderness wanderings, when they are finally entering the promised land, God bases the reason not in his original work of creation, but in his recent work of redemption in the Exodus. The Exodus, you see, was a picture of redemption through Christ, and that redemption represented a new creation in which righteousness dwells, breaking into this fallen and cursed world and beginning the process of overcoming the curse through transformation. When God fulfilled the Exodus picture through the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ and his pouring out of the kingdom leaven of the Spirit at Pentecost, the new creation was begun in earnest, and the new creation had officially begun to break into this fallen world. And so, following his earlier pattern, we would expect God's new work of accomplished redemption to be the reason for the Sabbath. And thus, it is called the Lord's Day in the New Testament. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, John is telling us how he received the vision, which is expressed in the book of Revelation. And he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." They were calling the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, the day of the new creation, the first day of rest in God's new work of salvation. John was already calling it the Lord's Day. And we would expect that day of participating in God's rest to fall on the day of the week in which God himself first enjoyed and rejoiced in the fruit of his act of redemption and new creation through Christ. And that is the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week. Now, to signify that, Jesus, upon his resurrection, repeatedly appeared to the disciples on the first day of the week. And by the time we get to Acts chapter 20, we see that the disciples had established the practice of meeting on the first day of the week to hear the word and break the bread of the Lord's Supper. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we're told, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread," and it's not just talking about eating, it's talking about breaking this bread of the Lord's Supper, it said that Paul spoke to them and continued his message. It was their custom to receive a message. He continued his message until midnight. Just keep that in mind whenever I go a little bit long. Okay. Jesus himself started that practice on the Sunday, the very Sunday of his resurrection, when he appeared incognito to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, as recorded in Luke chapter 24. We're told there that he expounded to them the scriptures, and he broke bread with them. And in those two things, he disclosed himself to them and caused their hearts to blaze within them. Thus, Jesus was signifying how through the Holy Spirit, he would continue to be with his disciples through the preaching of the word and the breaking of bread and the Lord's Supper down through the ages and still today. So clearly, that is the centerpiece of sanctifying the Lord's Day, which is the New Testament Sabbath. That is the centerpiece of how we rest and enjoy God's work and ours. We begin by resting in God's work, His work in creation, and His work in redemption. There is no other place to start but resting in God's work. Think about it all the way back in creation. Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day. So the first full day of their first full week was the seventh day, the last day of God's week of creation. That is the day that God rested and enjoyed all His work. So Adam and Eve spent their first full day resting in God's work. Their work begins by resting in God's work. Their work depends on that. And so Jesus rested from His work of redemption when? On the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection. And we begin how? By resting in His work. We rest in His work, and He blesses us through the Spirit to add godly work through us to His work. So we can rest and enjoy the fruit of that work on the Lord's Day as well. So this idea of receiving God's work, receiving His gifts, basking in His goodness, overflowing with thankfulness, that's exactly what the Sabbath or the Lord's Day is all about. And if you consider the book of Nehemiah, where we have one of the few clear examples in Scripture of when God's people really got what the gospel and the Sabbath were all about. In that book, we see in chapter 8 that the people have come back to Jerusalem from captivity. They've rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And now they are worshiping God and renewing covenant with Him. Renewing covenant is just theological language for what a couple does who've been married for 50 years and they renew their vows. They renew their vows and they confirm their love to one another again. That's exactly what happens every single week in the worship service. We come, Jesus reassures us one more time of His love for us, and we renew our covenant with Him, renewing and expressing our love and commitment to Him. Now, Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites have read the law to the people. The people have seen how far short they have fallen in their faithfulness to God. They have been unfaithful, and the unfaithfulness of their fathers. So the people are very downcast. But then Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites teach the people about God's love and grace. This day is holy to the Lord, they say. It is holy to the Lord, and therefore do not mourn or weep. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portion to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord our God. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, yes, you're right to be convicted for how far short you have fallen. You are right in that. You're not making a mistake. However, no matter what we have been, no matter what we have done, there is a greater reality than all of our flaws and all of our shortcomings and all of our stinky sins, the ones we do, and we mean it. We mean it. There's a greater reality. That greater reality is God Himself and His work through Christ. So they are told by faith, you rejoice in the Lord this day. You rejoice in that greater reality. You rest in God's work. And then we're told all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. The people got it. They got the gospel, and therefore they got the Sabbath. And those two things are dependent. Both of these, gospel and Sabbath, are about receiving God's free gifts, basking in them, responding in gratitude, which leads to joy, the joy of the Lord, which leads to sharing and giving to one another, fellowshipping and rejoicing together. And that, Scripture says, is our strength. That's our strength. That's what the Sabbath is about, the proper response to the gospel. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portion to those who have nothing prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.